Thank you, Kent and Barbara, for our music tonight, and welcome to those of you joining us on live stream here at Faith Baptist Church. It's the evening we take the Lord's Supper. It's a fifth Sunday night of the year or of the month, and so we do that always on the fifth Sunday nights. And so we will be bringing a message here for a few minutes, and then we'll go to the table, so we'll live stream during the message only. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. You have an outline on your screen, or there's one in your bulletin if you're here. A familiar portion of Scripture, but I often think of this passage and wanted to come back to it on a Lord's Supper evening. Let me read to you from verse 19, Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 19 to 24. The writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh," notice the blood and the flesh of Christ, "and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Verse 25, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." You've probably heard me say this before, but I call this, especially verses 22, 23, and 24, the lettuce patch. And I do it because in three verses in a row, you have the word, "let us draw near, let us hold fast, and let us consider one another." It's actually a very common expression in the New Testament, as I want to read some verses with you tonight. So let us do it. I call it the lettuce patch. You know, the other night we were grilling hamburgers, and I love grilled hamburgers. And Ann had all the fixings ready, and at the last minute she says, "I have no lettuce." I said, "How can we have grilled hamburgers without lettuce, you know? So let us have lettuce." Well, in the New Testament, we have a lot of lettuce. It's a big lettuce patch. Let me tell you something about that expression, "let us," three times, "draw near, hold fast, and consider one another." It's called a present subjunctive verb tense, which means when it says subjunctive, it means it's kind of doubtful. It's a gentle command to let us do something. It's not the imperative that says, "do this, stop this," or something like that. It's more, "let us do it." As a matter of fact, the first place I thought of is in John 14:31, where Jesus is speaking to the disciples in the upper room, and they go through all of the dinner, they go through the washing of the feet, and he begins to talk to them. And right in verse 31, it says, "but that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandment, so I do." And then the very next phrase, it says, "arise, let us go from here." Let us go out to the Garden of Gethsemane, which they did. It's kind of that gentle command, "may we go." And you've probably used that often yourself, you know, "may we do this" or "may we do that." You can hear the command there, but you can also kind of hear the doubtfulness. It's used sometimes of the presentation of the gospel, you know, that we may receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. That "may we receive"? Well, maybe we will, maybe we won't. So we have it that way, this subjunctive mode, it's called, kind of a funny word there. Well, I want you to notice three of those here in verse 22, 23, and 24, and then I'm going to give you four verses under each of those. I probably should have included them on your outline so you don't have to write them down, but I want to share 12 different verses then, all in this exact same verb tense, that give us this gentle command of things to do. Now, as I look at verses 22, 23, and 24, I see in verse 22 admonitions to ourselves. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Remember that he's following up what he said in verses 19, 20, and 21, even about the blood and the body of Christ. Let us offer ourselves to the Lord. And then in verse 22, I see more our responsibility toward the world and toward those that are outside. So let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We have a confession of faith, a profession of faith to give to the world. And then lastly, in the third one, we see more responsibility toward the church, that is the brothers and sisters in Christ that we meet with, one another. So let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So kind of a threefold admonition in this gentle command that the Lord gives us. So back to verse 22, let us draw near then. Let us draw near to God. We have a high priest over the house of God. We have someone who sacrificed himself for us. He shed his blood for us. His flesh, his body was the veil that when it broke on the cross, the veil in the temple was rent in two. So let us draw near then to this. Well, let me give you four verses that also have this lettuce. I told you we're going to go to the lettuce patch, so there's a lot of these. First of all, Romans 12:6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, and then it goes on. If you have this gift, then use it. If you have this gift, then use it. So first of all, in the lettuce patch we have, let's serve the Lord. Let us serve the Lord. If he has done all of this for us, then if you have, and you do, whatever your gift is from God, you have a giftedness. And my view of the spiritual gifts is that there's not just a certain number, but there's many of them. And God has built a gift into you by your background, by your faith, by your family, by everything that you've experienced in life. So you have something to offer. So first of all, let us serve, and that is your responsibility. Secondly, in Romans 13, 12 and 13, actually, twice in these two verses, we see an admonition for us to live righteously. Listen to this. Romans 13, 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light, in the very next verse, and let us walk properly in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Three times in those two verses we have let us to pick. So let us cast off the works of darkness, let us put on the armor of light, and let us walk properly as in the day. So we have a life of righteousness to live because of what Jesus has done for us. And then thirdly, under this point, in 2 Corinthians 7:1, we have an admonition to cleanse ourselves, which is part of why we come to the Lord's table on a night like this. So 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So we have a responsibility of ourselves. And when we come to the Lord's table, doesn't the Bible admonish us to confess our sins, to go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I see what you've done for me here. And where I'm not pleasing to you, where I'm not serving you as I should, where I might have sin in my life, I want it confessed. I want our fellowship restored. And coming to this table to see what Jesus did for us with his body and blood it causes us to want to do the same thing and to have that fellowship with him. So let us cleanse ourselves. And the fourth one under this point is Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, and you know, when we come to the Lord's table, of course, it's for believers, right? And we always say it's a person should be saved and baptized. When they come to the Lord's table, those first things that happen, and we find that pattern in Acts chapter 2, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and then they were added to the church. So if we live in the Spirit, as I'm looking at believers here that are ready to take the Lord's table, you live in the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. He lives in you, and therefore you live in him. Then let us walk in the Spirit. The difference is you can have the Holy Spirit, and he lives in you, but you can be offending him. You can be not following his lead in your life, even though he lives in you. And that's frustrating to him and to you. And so rather, Paul will say often, be filled with the Spirit. You have him, be filled. Don't be a glass that's half full, be a glass that's overrunning. So again, verse 22, let us draw near then with a pure heart, a true heart in full assurance of faith. And by the way, that will give you full assurance of faith to walk like this and to do these things. You'll have that assurance that you belong to the Lord. So that's the first admonition to ourselves. Secondly, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession or profession of our hope. Faith, and the actual word there is hope. Without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Well, we have a profession to make. Part of our responsibility as believers being left in this world is the Great Commission. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So we have a responsibility to the world. We here in the auditorium read part of a missionary letter tonight, and read of a man who accepted the Lord in a Muslim country who had never heard such a thing as the gospel before, but when he did, it was such a great thing to him. We need to be involved in that, but also across the street with our neighbors as well. Let me give you these four verses in the lettuce patch. Mark 1:38. Jesus is beginning his ministry. Mark goes into it very quickly in his gospel. So Mark 1:38 says, he, that is Jesus, said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For this purpose I have come forth. So Jesus was even saying to his disciples, let us go. You know, it's kind of interesting that Jesus would preach in one place and great crowds would come around him. And in the midst of all of that, he'd say, let's go to the next town. You know, let's leave them and go where they haven't heard. Let us go that we may preach, Mark 1:38. And what is our command? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, right? So we have that same kind of command to us today. The second verse here is Galatians 6:9. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart, if we don't faint, if we faint not. So let us not grow weary. That's the next lettuce that we pick. We get weary in this world. We see the sinfulness in this world. We see the problems going on, not only in the world, in our own country, in our own place where we live and all of that. And we can just grow weary. We learned this morning in our lesson that means don't be faint of heart. Don't let your heart faint within you, but be strong and not grow weary. So one thing that we need to learn in this kind of an admonition, our ministry out in that world and your ministry to your neighbors, your ministry to those that you're trying to witness to, don't get weary about it. Don't lose heart. Keep going. All right, thirdly, 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We all sleep, don't we? But, of course, the Bible is not speaking here of actual physical sleep at this point. The Bible here is speaking about we kind of go to sleep on the job, so to speak. We're supposed to be serving the Lord in this world, and we quit doing it. We're kind of in a spiritual slumber, a spiritual sleep. And by the way, this in 1 Thessalonians 5 is in the rapture passage material. Chapter 4, the very description of the rapture, and then chapter 5 is the description of the tribulation period that will come. And as we get closer to that age, at the end of the age, let's not go to sleep. We're people of the day, not of the night. Let's work as in the day and not in the night. So holding fast our profession in that way. And then fourthly, under this point, is Hebrews 4:14. As a matter of fact, there in Hebrews 4, we're reading in Hebrews 10, is almost the exact expression that we have here in chapter 10. 4:14 says, "Seeing then that we have such a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." Let us hold fast our profession. So let me encourage you, as you consider what Jesus has done for you, did Jesus ever mince his words? Did Jesus ever back off when it was hard to speak? He always was bold in his confession, right? He is the Son of God. And so he's encouraging us, if we have that kind of high priest, and we do, his blood is before the Father's throne in heaven. And since he gave the great confession, we should give the great confession. And so let us hold fast our profession. Hold it fast. Do it. Don't back off from your own testimony and so forth. So that's to the world. So we have verse 22, let us draw near, that is ourselves, to him. And verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our faith toward the world. So thirdly, in verse 24, let us consider one another, that is, one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me read those verses again, verse 24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. One of the reasons, folks, that we're here tonight, one of the reasons we gathered together on Sunday morning and Sunday night and whenever we gather together is we encourage one another in our Christian walk. We might hear a burden, we might hear a problem, and we encourage and say, "The Lord bless you, and I'll be praying for you, and this happened to me, and this is what I did." There's all kinds of ways that we are encouraged by coming together. And then verse 25, that very well-known verse, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. It's easy to, I know, and sometimes we have to for various reasons, but when we can, This is our life. This is where we grow up. This is where we live our Christian life. And then it says, not forsaking the assembling, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. If I ask you, have you ever seen a day when we ought to be expecting the Lord to come at any moment? You'd have to say, yes. This is the day. I've never seen anything like it. I hear that in our conversations all of the time, where we are right now. Well, as we see the day approaching, let us do these things even more, exhorting one another, assembling together with one another. So in verse 24 and 25, let us consider one another to these. Here are four verses. Acts 15:36. Acts 15:36 says, "Then, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.'" So here's Paul saying to Barnabas as they finished one missionary journey, they're ready to start out on the second one, and Paul, they're sitting there in Jerusalem with the big church and with all the people that are there, and Paul just gets to thinking about the churches and thinking about the people in the churches, and so he says to Barnabas, "Let's go. Let us go." And of course, you know that they went kind of two different ways, but that was all right. They both served the Lord. Let us go back and see how they're doing. I hope that one of the motivations you have of coming to the Lord's house on Sunday is, let's go see how the folks are doing. Let's see how everybody is. Let's encourage one another and provoke. We provoke each other all the time, don't we? But that's the biblical word. Let's provoke one another. Let's spur each other on to good works. So in Acts 15, 36, he says that. The next verse is Romans 14:19 talks about edifying one another while we're here. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Let's pursue those things. There are just things that build each other up. There are kind words that we can say to one another. There are positive things that we can give to each other, because we all need that edification. We all need that building up. We go through a whole week. Things are tired. Things are hard. We meet all kinds of challenges. We need to be brought. We need to be built up, not torn down, right? And love builds up, and sin tears down. So let's build one another up. Let us edify one another. So let us visit one another. Let us edify one another. Thirdly, in Hebrews 13:15, in this book that we're in, we're going to see that we need to worship together. And here's how it's put. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, and giving thanks to his name. We come together to worship. And you know how we do it mostly? With our lips, with our mouth. And why do we sing in church? Because we have these songs that have great words to them, and we play our instruments, we hear the music, and somebody directs us to sing together, and we're all doing it together. That's part of our worship. That is, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips. And when we do it, we give thanks to his name, so that when we can finish, we can say, amen, that was good. I enjoyed that. That helped me. That's what I needed. So let us continually worship one another. I have said, and I believe it, that we don't just come together to worship, but we are worshipers who come together. That is, we ought to always be worshiping God. We ought to be people who worship God. But to come together and share that with one another, to share our experience of worship, is a great thing. So that's third, Hebrews 13. Fourthly, then, under this point, is 1 John 4:7. And this has to do with love, of course. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And so it wouldn't be surprising to us, would it, that the admonition is to love one another and to seek the best for each other and to do what is best for one another. So let us love one another. So again, verse 24, our admonition to one another as a church is to consider one another and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know, I did a little count on my computer program of the expression "let us" in this subjunctive mode. In the King James Version, that expression appears 157 times in the New Testament. And in the New King James, they translate it 164 times. So somewhere around 160 times in the New Testament, we have admonitions of let us do this and let us do that. And sometimes let us not do this and let us not do that. You know, but I want to show you one last one, and it's here in Hebrews in chapter 13. So you can quickly just go to your right there, probably one page, and let's think about this before we come to the Lord's table tonight. Verse 13, therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp bearing his reproach. When Jesus was crucified and gave the sacrifice of himself, he was carried outside the city and crucified outside as a common criminal with common criminals there on Golgotha's hill. And he was shamed and put outside the community and put outside the church, and the city. And so here the writer of Hebrews, coming after describing all that he did and all about his crucifixion and his blood and his body, he says finally, he gives this admonition to us, so let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. So that means that to bear his reproach, to live these things that we've looked at tonight, sometimes we just kind of have to go outside the camp, don't we? We have to go where other people aren't. We have to go where the world doesn't want to go. And we have to sometimes because they don't want us within their midst talking like we talk and worshiping like we worship. Let's go to him. If he's outside the camp, let's go outside the camp. If he was reproached, then let us be reproached. That's okay. It's not always like that, but it often is. And I'll remind you of Paul's expression in Romans chapter 12. So present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. He presented himself a real sacrifice, shedding his blood and dying on the cross for us. Surely we can present our bodies a living sacrifice. And doing these things that the Bible admonishes us with these gentle commands to be doing in our life. As we come to the Lord's table tonight, we will remember the body of the Lord as we take this unleavened bread, and we will remember the blood of Jesus Christ as we take this unleavened juice and remember what he did for us in his body and blood. I want you to stand with me then, if you will, and we think about these things. We will pray, and then our deacons will come, and we'll prepare the table for our supper tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful that you loved us so much, that you would give your only begotten Son for the whole world. You loved all sinners. But we heard the gospel, and we responded to it, and we came. And being your children and being blood-bought children of God, help us, Father, to pay attention to these admonitions that are gently brought to us in the New Testament, to do what you did and to be like you. Help us, Father, in our personal life that we might look at ourselves even tonight, and if there are things within us that are displeasing, that we might confess them just now and come to your table with a pure conscience. When we go out these doors tonight, let us be good ambassadors and witnesses for you. And I pray, Father, you would encourage us tonight at the table to be able to do that more. And then, Father, as we just share this time together as a church, as a family, we pray, Father, that you would cause us to build one another up and to think of one another and to love one another. So have your will and your way in our supper and the celebration of this tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and our men are here.